ready for us today.
Welcome everybody to the Sleeper Wire Show. It is post NFL draft and we are talking fantasy implications. I am your host, Professor Chris, and I got Dirty Jobs on the show. How's it going, Mike?
What is happening, man? Good to be on with you finally again, Chris. It's been a minute.
It's been like a month since I've been on the show. Having a newborn is pretty insane.
It's rough, man. It's rough. We all understand, definitely, but it's good to hear your voice again, buddy.
Yep. Good to be back. We have special guest Pete Overzet on the show as well, talking about some of these landing spots for these rookies. You can follow him on Twitter at Peter Overzet. He is a content creator for Roto Grinders and 444. Pete, how's it going, man?
Doing good, guys. It's very, very fun to have a bunch of rookie drafts going on. I know we're all craving some kind of normalcy, and doing way too many rookie drafts at once feels very normal for this time of year.
Did you see that the NFL draft had its highest viewership in history?
I did. I believe it too.
That's yeah. For sure. Like, I never watched all seven rounds, and I definitely did.
Yeah. Yeah. It was great. It was the only show in town. We were all forced to, whether we liked it or not.
Yeah. And you know what? I thought the NFL actually did a pretty good job of it.
I did too. I mean, everyone was hoping, you know, for all this like chaos and stuff, and it went pretty smoothly. And to me, I loved the, I guess, semi voyeuristic element of seeing everyone's at home setups. Like, each one of those was its own fun little Easter egg. I really enjoyed that.
Including Mike Vrabel's guest dropping a deuce. And
yeah, I heard that was maybe debunked, that he just was a mirror and he had his, you know, short shorts down. But who knows? I like the drop in the deuce version better.
that's way better. All right, guys, we are going to go ahead and hop into the show. So the four things we're going to talk about are the favorite landing spot, the worst landing spot, the sleeper of the draft, and then which team won the draft. And let's go ahead and start with favorite landing spots. Pete, I'm going to kick it off to you first. Your favorite rookie landing spot.
All right. This might, I don't know, maybe this is cheating, or maybe this isn't as interesting for fantasy, but honestly, for me, Tua going to the Dolphins is my ideal landing spot. I know Dolphins fans have been sweating it for a long time. There was a lot of controversy over, you know, them being bad at tanking, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick winning games. But they were able to kind of have their cake and eat it too. They were able to still kind of establish a winning environment. And the fact that they were able to get Tua, they've already kind of moneyballed this draft with the way they've been able to accumulate assets. And they really are approaching this from a true kind of dynasty standpoint. And I think taking a high risk, high upside pick in Tua there, who could really be, you know, a top five quarterback going forward, I just love the fit, and I love that it worked out for the Dolphins.
How do you feel about Ryan Fitzpatrick for this season, though?
Yeah, I guess my initial gut reaction is that he's going to start the season while they bring Tua along, and especially if we have a shortened offseason as far as what they're able to do in training camp and preseason. But I do think we will see Tua at some point this season, provided the medicals are still looking good.
Mike, what about you? Your favorite landing spot?
Clyde Edwards-Helaire is just, man, that guy going to Kansas City was my dream. I wanted to see that guy there. I'm like, please CEH to the Chiefs. Now, I am unfortunately one of those essential employees. I'm out there on them front lines fighting every morning, doing my thing. And so I got to work. And so I didn't get to catch that last part of the draft. And so I got to wake up to that news. I was so excited. I feel like that is the ideal spot for him, the ideal offense. And then to hear later that Patrick Mahomes handpicked that guy, huge. And then my other guy, honestly, was Tua as well. Tua going to Miami, that is awesome to me too. I mean, they don't even have to use him this year. They can just sit back. Miami is just set up. They really have turned that organization around. I'm really intrigued to see what happens there out of the next few years. I think it's going to be a great, great build.
Let's not count the chickens before they hatch.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. We haven't seen anything yet. I just, on paper, the Dolphins are doing everything right. I can say that.
There we go.
It's not getting excited that they're going to be some Super Bowl contending team this year. It's just you see so many teams get stuck in that purgatory and not having the patience to do a true build. We saw Sashi get run out of Cleveland as they kind of half-assed it there at the end too. So the hope is that Miami can do a true rebuild from the ground up.
Yeah, look at the Raiders the past like 30 years or whatever as what not to do. And I think, yeah, Miami to me is looking like how I run my dynasty team. You know, like, and that's what's exciting about it.
And my favorite landing spot, I took a selfish one here, Jacob Eason to the Colts. You know, big Colts fan, as the listeners of the show know. I loved the Phillip Rivers signing, even though it was only for 1 year. They needed to draft their future, and getting him in the fourth round, I think that was great value. He gets to learn behind. You know, it. Can we call Phillip Rivers one of the greats? I mean, he's top 10 in stats. And one of the good all-time quarterbacks.
Let's call him one of the goods. Yeah, how about one of the good?
One of the good, yeah. One of the goods. So I loved that. But if I'm not taking a selfish pick, Cam Akers to the Rams. I'm not a big Daryl Henderson fan. Malcolm Brown hasn't shown anything. I like Cam Akers, maybe replacing that Todd Gurley role there. Let's move to our least favorite landing spot or worst landing spot. Pete, who you got here?
So I guess I'm going to call this my least favorite as opposed to being the worst, because I think it could still work out. But I was definitely bummed to see DeAndre Swift go to Detroit, partly because still kind of a Kerryon Johnson fan. And, you know, when you look at their comps over at RotoViz, I mean, DeAndre Swift's best comp is Kerryon Johnson. So, you know, the worry is, assuming the Lions aren't completely moving on from Kerryon, that we're going to get more of this kind of gross 50-50 split. We know that Patricia has liked to use a three-way committee as well. So that's a big bummer, because I think most people were pretty excited about what Swift could do, you know, with a decent workload.
Mike, where are you at for your worst landing spot?
I mean, basically for me, it was everything that Green Bay did. Like, I just,
dude, it was awful.
I just can't. I mean, did you see his kids on that? There's like a image of his kid, and his kid's like, man, I didn't have nothing to do with that, man. He's like, I didn't draft him. Like, that wasn't me. Like, oh my.
Don't look at me.
I feel like that's how the whole Green Bay Packer nation feels right now, is like, what in the heck are they doing? Maybe they see stuff that we don't or something like that. But that's, to me, the worst landing spot is they didn't draft anybody for Aaron Rodgers to throw to. They were one game away from the Super Bowl last year. All that they need is maybe one piece, one extra little piece here, and that could be enough to carry him over the edge. And instead, they draft his replacement. I mean, it baffles me. I just can't believe it.
You know, my least favorite landing spot was one of the best players in the draft, CeeDee Lamb. And this is from a purely fantasy perspective. He's in a great offense, but, you know, Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, and Zeke are all still there. I think Blake Jarwin has a chance to have his breakout season as a rookie. I just don't think there's going to be enough for CeeDee Lamb to be a fantasy superstar like he could have been on, you know, almost any other team that didn't already have two really good wide receivers. And a great running back and a good tight end. So I don't like the CeeDee Lamb spot. Love the player, but not a fan of where he went. Let's move to our sleeper of the draft. And I'll start this one. Mine's pretty short. A.J. Dillon. I like the talent, but more I like the fact that Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams are both free agents after this season. And so you might be able to get Dillon in a dynasty startup, you know, 10th round or later, which would be pretty good. Pete, who are you thinking?
Yeah, I like the Dillon call. I'm going to go even a little deeper. I don't know if people are that excited about this guy, but Darrington Evans in Tennessee, I know the immediate thing is going to be, oh, Derrick Henry, no path to immediate production, which is probably true. But one, Deion Lewis isn't there anymore. He could get, you know, a little bit of that pass game role. Obviously would be a premier handcuff. We know Henry is going to get tons of carries, so there's going to be handcuff potential there. And then the other thing is we still don't know how the Derrick Henry contract situation is going to play out. He got the franchise tender, so he's going to be back at least for 1 year. But if they don't get an extension done before July, it could be a little more up in the air And this Darrington Evans, other than Jonathan Taylor, J.K. Dobbins, and A.J. Dillon, averaged more all-purpose yards throughout his college career than any other running back. So the production can't be questioned. It seems like he could be able to handle a workload if he was called upon.
Mike, your sleeper of the draft.
My sleeper of this draft is Lynn Bowden. I think he's going to be a guy on them Vegas Raiders that just, I mean, nobody's really looking at this guy. Right. It is. It's hard. It's to me, it's going to be the team to beat for a while there. Yeah, no, I get it. Like, because I have a tough time saying it every time. I'm a Las Vegas Raiders.
Just call them the Vaders. Yeah, I mean,
the Vaders. I like that. Let's just call them that from now on. We're going to change everything. But I like Lynn Bowden a lot. I mean, from Kentucky and on, I mean, that guy was really good. He's versatile. He's kind of like one of those gadget guys where you can actually throw him in a wildcat formation. He ran quarterback a lot for Kentucky. He did a lot out of the receiving game. Just one of those guys. I mean, and when you got people like Derek Carr as your quarterback, it's guys like him that I think can come in out of nowhere and just kind of – he's a versatile athlete, I guess. So that's the guy I've been looking at this whole draft to – be my sleeper, and I've been getting him late in almost every single draft I'm in. Late, you know, I mean, second, third round, later than your first guys, anyways.
I'm going to go ahead and mention Hoos's sleeper here, Antonio Gibson. And of course, he put Washington's Chris Thompson replacement in here. Who's big Chris Thompson fan? I like this pick a lot. Adrian Peterson, not going to be there forever. Darius Geis, you know, is broken every single season. It's a good pick. Great PPR move. Now we get to which team won the draft, and there are a bunch of different lenses you can look at this through. You can look at this from a football perspective, from a defense perspective, offense. You can look at it from fantasy. Pete, how are you looking at which team won the draft?
Yeah, I mean, I already talked about the Dolphins, so I'll do a different one just because I think organizationally, macro level, they had an awesome draft. I'll say the Broncos. The Broncos basically did everything that you would have hoped the Packers would have done. You know, imagine if Rodgers got Judy, Hamler, and Albert O added to that offense. I mean, we'd be losing our minds. So, yeah, I love what Denver did. And I think that's the blueprint, right? Like, the number one thing a team tries to do is land a franchise quarterback. And beyond that, if you're still kind of in that, you know, so range, you surround him with weapons. And I think John Elway has taken some cracks at trying to find his quarterback of the future. Maybe Locke's not it, but I think we've seen, as far as for fantasy, the Daniel Jones, the Josh Allens, these guys with big arms who can push the ball downfield and who can run can be fantasy monsters if you surround them with talent. And that's exactly what Elway did.
Yeah, and those three you mentioned, but also Cortland Sutton, Melvin Gordon, and Noah Fant.
Yeah, Melvin Gordon, part of that offseason free agency class as well. Yeah, yep. I mean, that is about as much firepower as you can get on the field.
Yep, and I actually had the Broncos as one of mine. So, Mike, I'll let you go next, and then I'll wrap up with my other one at the very end.
Well, so it's funny because I was like, well, I'm not going to talk about Miami either because that's who I picked. I'll just talk about Denver, which who I thought crushed this draft. And I'm a diehard Denver Broncos fan. So I'm actually going to shift, I guess, back to the Vegas Raiders because I really kind of like what they did. Adding the receiving weapons they did. I mean, they've got like four good looks right now. And then you got Josh Jacobs sitting in that backfield. I think they have a lot of potential. I think they're just basically – kind of a quarterback away. And I feel like a quarterback is something that we can get going on that team relatively easy. Like, I mean, you could see somebody like Cam Newton come out of nowhere, lead that team. And all of a sudden then the Vegas Raiders are a legitimate threat. So that's the team I think that did third best.
And mine, I'm going to go back and I'm going to say the Colts again, and not just because I'm a Colts fan, but let me try to justify this one as well. So first off, who many regarded as the best running back of the draft. Jonathan Taylor, Michael Pittman, Desmond Patton, both of those wide receivers are both 6'4 with 4.5 speed, and Jacob Eason. You combine Pittman and Patman with T.Y. Hilton and Paris Campbell in the slot, Phillip Rivers for a one-year deal to teach Jacob Eason, and the Colts are going to be set for a while. They've already got that great offensive line. They added defensive help in the draft. I think overall, especially from a fantasy perspective for the future, I think the Colts did a really good job. And all right, guys, that is going to wrap it up for our time with Pete. Follow him on Twitter at Peter Overzet. Pete, where else can our listeners find you and follow you and support you?
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, guys. This was fun. We're doing a weekly show over at RotoGrinders, the Swolecast. People might know it in season as a DFS show, but we're kind of bouncing around talking about, you know, whatever the flavor of the moment is here. And just excited to get started here with some more drafting. But Twitter and RotoGrinders Swolecast are the best spots for me right now.
Actually, I did have one other question.
Yeah, go
for it. 83rd ranked esports DFS player in the world. Is that true?
It is true, but it's a bit of a sore subject. The number
you comes were 70, right?
Yeah, that's the problem. I believe I opened up as the 37th. It's just been a sad fall. But yeah, RotoGrinders has DFS rankings for every sport, and I've never been good enough at DFS to ever be remotely near the top for football or whatever. But, you know, esports came around and I was bored and I started playing it and taking it very seriously as far as putting time into it. And they released the rankings and I was up there in the top 40. But each week more sharks seem to be playing and old Peter keeps falling down.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Dude, that's a total awesome move, though. You did the right thing by just getting it out there and being like, yes, but then, oh, that's a bummer about the fall down. The dynasties must fall, my friend. It does happen.
You know what? You're top 100. That's what matters.
Hang on. Oh, yeah. I guess that's the thing. I think you nailed it. When I drop out of the top 100, I think I have to stop updating it.
Then we're going to delete this show. There will be no history of us ever having someone outside the top 100.
Yeah, you don't. That's getting Nolan excited. Yeah.
All right, Pete. Well, thank you so much for joining us, man. This was a lot of fun.
Thanks, guys, for having me.
And you can follow us on Twitter at Sleeperwire Show. Mike is on there at DirtyJobs21, and I'm on there at Prof_ChrisSW. And follow us on Twitter at DirtyJobs and Professor Chris. Mike, Pete, thanks again for joining me this week. Everybody else, thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you next time.